Hi again, everybody. John Porteous of the Lovells Township Historical Society, and you're listening to the Backcast Podcast. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you. We're 2 days away from opener, and today's episode features Joan Wolfe, the First Lady of Fly Fishing. If there's something to do with a fly rod and angling and being a woman, I suspect that Joan led the way for all that. So, I'm not going to really drone on too much more. I do want to remind you that we have the Leaky Waiter for those of you that are local, or those that you know want to travel from around the world and join us. We've got the Leaky Waiter 1K Saturday morning registration. I'd say hit the tables around 9:30 a.m. Race should start around 11:30 a.m. So, very good. That's it for now. Let's not dilly-dally any further. We'll welcome Joan in and have at it from there.
How are you?
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. I look forward to talking with you.
Well, we're excited to have you. I understand you were part of the panel welcoming Nancy's award on Monday night at the American Museum of Fly Fishing.
Yes, I was. Did you see that at all?
I'm going to have to catch the replay, Joan. I had a conflict that evening, so I didn't get to see it live. But Jim Schottenham was telling us it was very special.
Yes, it was, and Nancy was very special. She really deserved the recognition that program gave her.
That's awesome. That's awesome. The and to that end, I believe that you and Lee are featured in a display at the museum this year entitled Tied Together.
Yes, that's true. Yep.
That's awesome.
It opened up a couple of months ago.
Very nice. Very nice. The Joan, if you would, for our listeners that may not be familiar with you, could you give everybody just kind of a sketch of how you came to be involved with casting and fly fishing?
Well, my dad had an outdoor store, and everything in our lives was hunting, fishing, and dogs. And he was a member of a casting club that met every Sunday. And he just skipped over me and took my younger brother so that he could become a caster on Sundays, because girls didn't do that back in the 30s. And so eventually I tried fly casting because I liked the look of it. And I tried it with borrowed my father's rod. Mother gave me permission. And I went to the dock, and I hadn't put the rod together well, and it came apart, and the tip went down into the water. And here I was at 10 years old, scared to death of what was going to happen to me. But our next-door neighbor got a rake and got it out. And when my father got home from work, we told him about it, and he just asked me if I wanted to come on Sunday mornings and be part of the Patterson, New Jersey Casting Club.
Oh, that's awesome. That's much better than getting scolded, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, so you're casting with a group, but you obviously got pretty good pretty quick.
I was dedicated as a tournament caster. And I did go on to become a national casting champion over the years of, up until 1960. And so I cast mostly accuracy, but I did make a name for myself casting for distance. And I have actually cast a fly 161 feet. That was in 1960, I did that.
That's incredible.
I can barely walk that far.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's everything I can do to see 160 feet in front of me. Did you do that with special equipment, Joan?
The distance casting, you mean? Absolutely. And it was in the days when we didn't have graphite rods, and the rod that I was using was a bamboo, and it was very heavy. It weighed almost 7 ounces, and so I had to be very careful, very specific. I could only pick up what it's called the shooting head, 50-foot shooting head off the water, shoot line on the back cast, and then shoot forward to shoot the rest. And so that's how I had to do it and did it. Yeah.
Well,
that's incredible. That's just.
What kind of rod was it? Was it a Hardy or somebody make it for you?
It was made for me by the man who taught me to cast for distance.
Excellent. But you say heavy. It seems, if memory serves, there was kind of a move out on the West Coast to do casting, distance casting rods that were bamboo, but hollow instead of solid.
I never got involved with that.
Gotcha. That's incredible. As you came along, you married a rather interesting gentleman, and you guys were able to combine your fly fishing passion. Could you talk a little bit about Lee?
Well, Lee, you know, I think that there were two main outdoor men in the 20th century, and it was Lee and the man who was doing saltwater fishing. Who?
Gray?
Who?
Or Lefty?
I'm sorry, I'm not catching what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were trying to figure out who you were referring to.
Zane Gray.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go, right. And so Lee was an independent man. He flew his own airplane into Labrador and Newfoundland with no help from the earth and just explored it. And he was really looking for Atlantic salmon water. And so that's what he was doing. He would fly over the areas and look for places where there should be salmon. And he would land and fish for salmon and so on. And he wrote about it, and he made films about it, and so he became very well known. He was also involved on Sunday afternoons with American Sportsman series.
Kirk Gowdy, yeah.
That's right.
I enjoy those shows. The together you two did a lot for salmon conservation, and I think conservation as a whole. But can you talk about that a touch?
Well, we were members of the Atlantic Salmon Federation, and we traveled to different rivers and, you know, met anglers and talked about. The other thing that I should really go back to is that Lee was the person who invented catch and release fishing. And before that, people would catch, you know, a dozen fish and kill them and whatever. And so Lee understood that if everyone did that, you would be using up all of the Atlantic salmon. And so he practiced catch and release and is the father of that. And, it, you know, this many years later, it's basically the way we all fish with flies.
Indeed. And there was a phrase that I've heard, and I don't know if I'm going to quote it accurately, but it's something about the best gift you can give to another fisherman is to put the fish back in the water.
Right, as it may have been another fisherman's gift to you.
I love it.
Yeah.
But you know, we're and I don't want to skip over Lee Joan, but as our theme this year is women in fly fishing, I'd really like to have you, you know, kind of share some of your experiences and kind of how you've helped pave the way for other women to enjoy this wonderful sport.
Well, you know, 527 years ago, the first extant printed words about fly fishing was attributed to a woman, Dame Juliana Berners. It was called The Treatise of Fishing with an Angle. And as a true woman, she actually included 12 flies in the manuscript, explaining why you would use each one for each particular months of the year. And she described the sport as the best of all recreations, a merry occupation without care, anxiety, or trouble. And we all agree with that. So there was never any controversy about Juliana, and she's still the only candidate. So where were the men? However, it has taken 500 years for the sport to finally include women. And I've only been around for 90 years, you know, and so there was a big gap there where women were just not fishing, and women weren't encouraged to fish. Men, I think, sometimes went off on fishing trips to get away from home.
And maybe occasionally, I'm not sure.
What did you say?
I said, so some people might do that, yeah. I think I've heard that story before.
Yes, I'm sure. But really now we have a jillion women have come into the sport. And when I started out in 1937, it was a man's sport, absolutely a man's sport. And they really didn't, you know, if women went fishing, they were always pestering the men. You know, tie my fly on, fix my reel, all that stuff. And so women were not really encouraged by men to come to fish. But for me, I learned to cast, and I was accepted by men on the river because I didn't pester them to help me. And so I got to most of my companions in the fishing world have been men. I have not fished much with women. I regret that. In my next life, I'm going to be fishing with women.
There you go. There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
But we now have, you know, 100 fishing clubs that are all about women. And women are really great in clubs. They help each other. They don't seem to have any standoff situations. It's all a matter of teaching each other or helping each other, and they have fun. Dame Julie said earlier, it was a merry occupation, and that's the way it is now.
I like it. It's got to give you a great deal of satisfaction when you look out and see all kinds of women out on your casting lawn and learning and improving their skill sets.
Yes, but I had to live to be very old before that all came about. I'm 96 now, and I would say for the last 20 years, no, actually, Robert Redford brought women into the sport with his film, A River Runs Through It. And in our fishing school, for 12 years after that film came out, we had more women than men in the school.
That's pretty awesome.
So when I'm given credit, I say, no, it was Robert Redford. <You know>?
Okay.
Well,
the power of Hollywood, yeah.
I get that. There have been a few occasions. It's, you know, I consider that one of my favorite short stories, the book, and McLean's effort. But the movie is not bad. And yes, it did males and females by the truckloads to the sport. The what's your pursuit now? I know you're still terribly busy, and you've mentioned you're 96, but I think a lot of people half your age would be hard pressed to keep up with you.
Yeah, well, I'm slowing down now. You know, by the way, I just want to mention that after Dame Juliana, there were some women, about 8 or 9 women over the 500 years who did make a mark. There was a woman who put out a book about aquatic insects. Then there was Flyrod Crosby, who was number one guide's license in the state of Maine. Mary Orvis Marbury did a book on favorite flies or histories. Pardon?
Did she tie?
Mary Orvis Marbury?
Yes.
She would have to have, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Then there was Harry Stevens, who did Streamers. The Gray Ghost was very famous. And then here in the Catskills, we have the Darbys and the Deddies, Elsie Darby and Winnie Deddy, who were the famous fly tiers of the Catskill style of flies. And, you know, dry fly fishing really started in the Catskills, and we have clean water. And it was probably in the late 1800s that Theodore Gordon started fishing dry flies. And so that's really the most important part of our heritage now. I mean, that's what we go back to over and over, because we have clean water. And, of course, the whole thing about fishing and so forth is about clean water. And the Catskills are very, very lucky. We still have it.
Oh, to be sure. To be sure. Well, and thanks in large part to a lot of the conservation efforts that you guys have been involved with.
We have good conservation groups, absolutely. Yep.
For our listeners, Joan, just to step back for a second, describe, if you would, a Catskill dry fly.
I can't. I'm not a fly tier.
Okay.
Those are the flies that are matching the hatches, and it's just as simple as that. And we have a wonderful man here, Edward Van Putt, and he has written a couple of books on fly fishing, and I would say he is the most knowledgeable man about Catskill fishing and flies.
That's neat. Yeah, we're sitting here. We're thankfully blessed with some pretty clean water up here too, and a fair chunk of history. Not as deep and robust as the Catskills, but not bad for a little place in the middle of the woods.
Right. We have lots of good fishing in the country.
Oh yes.
And, you know, we really do. And in the West Coast, East Coast, North, South, whatever. And we also fish, and I love fishing, in salt water for bonefish and tarpon. And I love fishing in the Florida Keys for those fish. And so you can really fish around the world. You know, it's amazing. Not every single place, but if that water is clean, you're going to be catchable fish. And fly fishing works, you know. It's our favorite sport.
Absolutely. Well, I like the way you describe growing up with fishing, hunting, and dogs. That sounds pretty much like every day up here. What kind of dogs did you grow up with, Joan?
Oh, gosh. I had an Airedale. I don't know if anybody has those anymore, but I had an Airedale, and we had a Doberman Pinscher, And my dad always had fox terriers that he sold in his fishing tackle in his store in Paterson, New Jersey. But I never really got into hunting with dogs.
Okay.
But I always appreciated it because those are the same people who love fly fishing.
Absolutely. Here's kind of an off the wall question. The wolf triangle taper what was at the root of that?
Well, when the fly lines were first started out in England, they were made out of horsehair, and so they just took the horsehair and they tied it all together, and they started out with a small diameter and gradually got bigger and bigger. And that's the principle of the triangle taper, in that you don't have a section of level line, which all the other lines have. They have a short tapered part, then they have a level section. But the triangle taper is a continuous taper. So heavy line is always turning over light line, and it really brings rods to life. It's a great line.
I like the concept of that. It's been a few years since I've cast with one, but it was a very nice line to cast with.
Yes, it is. It would bring rods to life. And we are no longer in that business. That the business and the lines were sold a couple of years ago.
Ah, okay.
But actually, Joe Fox, who is a Deddy descendant, owns the company that now sells the triangle taper.
So the concept has remained pure with this gentleman taking over things?
Far as I know. Yes. There's no sense in having otherwise you're just another fly line. So the triangle taper was different.
Well, no, I like it. I like it. The with regard to okay.
John, my name's Peter Jones. We've met several times at the Demarest Rodmakers Challenge, and I was a friend of Dave Brandt.
I miss Dave so much. Yeah.
That was so sudden, and it was just a bad time. I spoke with you once, first time. Would be 1988 at Depew Spring Creek in Montana, and you were there with Lee for the FFF convention.
Yes, and we went to those every single year. Love traveling out there and fishing out there. Yep.
Yeah, it was a great time. That's the first time I met you, and I'd be standing on somebody's arm you hosted at the Catskill gathering for, I've seen you cast many times, and just wonderful, and keep casting.
Yeah, I can't fish anymore. You know, you have no idea of how many fast moves you make once you hook a fish.
Yeah.
So I cannot do that anymore in a river, on my feet. I could possibly fish from a boat, but that's not easy around here.
Right.
And there's a few rocks in those streams you've got there too.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I'm gonna go back to John here, but it's just great to speak to you again. And I was talking earlier on with another Catskill guy, he's a Canadian, Kerrigan Almy, and we were just talking and reminiscing, and and stuff. And this is great to see, to hear your voice and hear your enthusiasm for everything. So,
yes. You know, the outdoor world is my church, and so
yeah.
I never grow tired of it.
No, you've done a great job, and you've set the bar high, as did Lee, and hopefully we can keep striving towards it too. You've done a great job, and you've set great standards.
Well, and with all the women who've come into the sport, they will keep it going.
Oh, most definitely.
Yep.
Without question.
My old TU chapter now has a female president, and she's doing a great job.
Oh,
and
good.
Another TU outfit in Chicago had a female president, and she did a great job. So, you gals are hard to live up to.
Well, women look at all of the things that are involved, not just showing off or whatever. They're always trying to make things more secure and give the people who are coming in lots to take care of them.
Yeah. Well, I know Winston made a rod a few years ago called the Joan Wolf.
Favorite.
Special.
Tape. And I know a few guys that have that taper, and they think it's their best rod.
You know, that was not graphite. That was glass.
Yeah.
And, yep. And it's, they stopped making it before everyone who would have loved it could get one.
Oh.
Yes. But it was a wonderful rod, yes.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I think eight foot for a four, if memory serves
no,
me.
No, five weight.
Five weight, okay.
Eight and a half for a five.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Age is telling on me, my mind's going a little bit.
Join the club.
Well, I feel like we're in good company with fellow parishioners, as I think all of us pretty much view the woods and rivers in the same way you do, Joan. Yeah, it's it is our spiritual retreat. It makes it ever so much fun when we get back and get a chance to stick our toes in the water again. To close, I'd just like to say, you know, echo Peter's thoughts and say thank you. We're most grateful for your time, for your leadership, and for the path you've set others to follow. So thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. I feel like the luckiest gal in the world through the magic of fly fishing. Yes.
That's awesome. Well, I will we're looking forward to this season's display. I think, as I shared with you, our theme is celebrating women in fly fishing this year, and I think once we get things set up, your placard will be the one that welcomes folks into the display. So,
that's nice.
I think it's appropriate. But thanks again, Joan. That's wonderful, and we'll look forward to conversations in the future then.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for asking me to be part of this. And.
Uh-huh.
As long as we're all fly fishermen, we've bonded.
Exactly.
Well, I look forward to seeing you in September at the Demarest Challenge.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys.
Take care, Joan.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
What a very nice lady, and how lucky we were to be able to spend some time with her. I've got to think that this is probably the most utterances of ever in one of our podcasts, so apologies to the listeners. I'll work on that. Okay, for now, there's another one. We've got opener on Saturday. Wherever you are, however you celebrate it, have fun, enjoy, be safe, dress warmly, etc., and come back again next week for another episode of the Back Cast podcast. Until then, mind your back cast.